This is Powering Michigan's Future with Ken Rogalski. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Here's Ken Rogalski.
On tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future, we'll discuss a very special fundraiser benefiting the Great Lakes Field Service Council of the Boy Scouts of America in partnership with the construction industry. Kevin Fouché, Vice President of Ideal Contracting and co-chair of the Boy Scouts Building Connections event. Jamie Hayes joins us, Development Officer for the Great Lakes Field Service Council. And also, learn more about career opportunities through the Electrical Industry Apprenticeship. We'll discuss the upcoming Habitat for Humanity's Detroit Blitz Build and learn about the support IBEW and NECA contractors and volunteers have to pull it all together with Tom Mittelbrun, Executive Vice President of NECA Southeastern Michigan, and Michael Richard, Business Manager of IBEW Local 58. Stay tuned for Powering Michigan's Future, only on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here again is Ken Rogalski. Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We'll continue our conversation with Kevin Fouché, Vice President of Ideal Contracting, and Greg Montoski, Director of Sales and Marketing for CAM, Construction Association of Michigan. And a delightful surprise, Jamie Hayes joins us, Development Officer for the Great Lakes Field Service Council for the Boy Scouts of America. Jamie, you're in the room with all the guys. Good to have you.
Lucky me.
Dress up the place. You're with the Boy Scouts?
Absolutely.
What do you do?
So I am their Development Officer, as you mentioned, and I kind of handle all of our special events. So all of our fundraisers throughout the year, and including one of my favorites, our Building Connections event coming up.
This is one big event for you.
Yes.
So what do the kids do when they come to this thing?
So actually, the event itself is for the construction industry. We have a couple scouts that come with us and show up and do the color guard and everything, but it is really focused on a networking opportunity for the construction industry.
So what do you get out of it?
Well, it's a great networking opportunity for these guys to kind of mix and mingle, rub elbows with the who's who of the construction industry, if you will.
So do the kids get involved in this, or is it just for the upper echelon?
This event specifically, we have a couple kids that show up in the beginning, but it really is focus on the construction industry.
Now, the guys were saying that they had a pretty good fundraiser this year to help get the scouts going. Over $1 million raised?
So we've raised, this event has been around, we're going on our 11th year here, and we've raised over $1.3 million to support scouting programs.
But back to the scouts, some of the core values that the scouts still embrace?
Absolutely. I mean, scouting is all about preparing our youth for life. That has been our slogan and will continue to be our slogan, prepared for life, and that's really what we try to do. So we try to get these kids in career development programs, as we talked about earlier, the Arc Exploring program. We have them selling popcorn to raise money for them to go to college. There's, of course, scouting for food that we do every year, where they do volunteer opportunities throughout the community. So it's just, really preparing these kids to be awesome.
It's a dress rehearsal for life to be
successful.
Absolutely. I was surprised to find out that Steven Spielberg was a Boy Scout when he was younger.
You know, there's so many famous people and people in our community, leaders.
Gerald Ford.
That have been Boy Scouts and Eagle Scouts as well, our highest honor.
Who are some of the big ones that you can remember?
Oh, jeez. Got to put me on the spot like that.
This is not a pop quiz.
Well, I think you've mentioned, there's a ton of presidents that were Eagle Scouts.
That's right. Mm-hmm. President Bush, too.
Mm-hmm.
Scouting creates individuals as well as the construction industry. What does scouting mean to you?
I think everyone that I've talked to being in this role for the past year now, everybody has a scouting story. In one way or another, they've been touched by scouting. I was a Girl Scout till I was 18. They actually had to kick me out of there. I said, you're too old. Beat it. But I think scouting to me really is preparing youth for life. And I don't think that me personally would be the person that I am today if it wasn't for scouting. And that's why this is such an important cause to me and why I work for them as my career.
Good for you. Also, we're going to pass the microphone over now. Greg, what does scouting mean to you for this project?
One, it's giving back. I am an Eagle Scout. And
you too.
I am.
See, Jamie, here's one right here.
And it is certainly a way of giving back and in assisting and preparing, you know, our youth for tomorrow. Whether it's, you know, getting them involved in our industry with apprentice programs or further training, or just exposing them to, you know, the opportunities that our industry has. It is a great way, and our event is one that's looked forward to throughout the year. Every year when it comes around, there's everybody's talking about it and preparing for it.
Kevin, were you a Boy Scout too?
I was not. Apparently, I'm the only one in the room that wasn't. But
what scouting mean to you?
You know, it's the what scouting represents and what it's teaching the kids. You know, trustworthiness, loyal, kindness, treating others the way you want to be treated, caring about the environment. Those are all aspects I think we all can agree that we want to be around people that have those values.
Yeah, if you had a chance, you'd associate more with those folks.
Absolutely. So anytime you can support that and help encourage it and also have an opportunity and an avenue for careers for these
It sounds like the old adage, leave the place better than when you found it.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes we're losing that in our society a little bit, but yeah, I think that the Scouts, it represents that.
Jamie, tell us more about the Great Lakes Field Service Council and the services that you provide.
Sure. So we serve over 24,000 youth within Southeast Michigan, the Tri-County area. And actually, one thing that I don't think a lot of people know is it's boys and girls. So we have our exploring program, which you've been talking about, the career placement opportunities, starts at 14 to 21 and includes females as well, which is something that a lot of people don't know.
Surprise, surprise.
I know.
Are girls a big part of this? I mean, is it a growing number? Are they 50-50, 60-40?
It's definitely a smaller number, of course. I mean, our name says it all. We are the Boy Scouts of America, but we are trying to develop more programs to bring girls into our programs.
So what's it mean to, for a girl to be in the Boy Scouts?
Well, it's an excellent opportunity. What we can do for them is kind of what we've been talking about, is we can really, again, prepare them for life, of course, but to get them opportunities to explore different career options, because that's really what those programs are for when you're 14 to 21, is let's test it all out and see what fits.
Have you ever bumped into some of the older scouts that have come back to you and say, you know, I was a Boy Scout, I was an Eagle Scout, this is what I'm doing now, and you know what I got out of your program? You ever had any stories like that?
I did. Actually, we did an event in June, and I ran into a woman who was in the scouting program in the 70s, a female, so it's been around for a long time, and she her program was at GM. And she was in there, was testing out the engineering opportunities. And she has been an engineer ever since with General Motors.
Was she one of the first, I wonder?
That was probably right around when it was being developed. So,
for a boy and a girl to be in Scouts, do they come in with wide-eyed optimism?
I think so. I'd like to hope that all these kids come in and see what a great opportunity it is to have the opportunity to kind of touch a couple different industries and really see what fits for you.
You know, because at an early age, many kids are still trying to figure out which end is up, what I want to do with the rest of my mm-hmm. life, what is out there, what am I good at. This has to be a fabulous opportunity to go out there and find out just what somebody is good at and what somebody loves.
Absolutely. And while I love the Girl Scouts, I really wish I could have had that kind of opportunity to test out a couple different industries.
Well, if you had the chance to go back and test something different, you personally, what would you do different?
Oh, that's a big question. I don't know. I mean, I got to be honest. I love what I do. But going back... Well,
then you got it.
Yeah, I think I figured it out. Took me a while to get here, but I'm here.
Now, what types of activities will Scouts participate in as they are experienced through the Scouting program?
So... they do a ton of camping throughout the summer. We do day camps all summer long for all of the different districts.
Now, what's a day camp mean?
So the kids go out and do all sorts of fishing activities, depending on the age of the kids. Sometimes there's archery involved. Do just games and just have a great day.
So guys who like to go fishing can be a scout, I guess?
Absolutely. We encourage that. Actually, we have joint scouting nights that are coming up where you actually each youth gets a fishing pole, and we do a big fishing day. And you can go to our website to find those dates. It's michiganscouting.org.
Do they still teach them how to build campfires the old-fashioned way?
Absolutely. Camping is a big part of our program.
Can you still do it?
Absolutely. TP method.
Right. Now explain that, TP method.
you get the fire underneath, but then you have to kind of angle. It's hard to do when people can't see my hands. You have to angle your logs kind of up in what looks like a teepee
right.
to really get that... get those to catch fire.
Jamie, a big event coming up. When is it? Where is it? What's it all about?
Sure. So we're going to be there Thursday, September 17th at the Detroit Historical Museum. Doors open at 5 o'clock. There are tickets still available.
5 a.m.?
5 p.m. Did I say a.m.?
No, I just wonder. You said 5 o'clock. I'm going, 5 a.m.?
5 p.m. I'll be sleeping at 5 a.m. Detroit Historical Museum, right by the DIA over there. So just a beautiful...
Right next to the library.
Yeah. Just a beautiful facility. We're really excited to be there. I do want to give a shout-out to some of our amazing sponsors.
Please.
Of course, the gentlemen that are here with us today, CAM and Ideal Contracting, Ruby and Associates, MCA Detroit. We wouldn't be here where we are or where we are today without them.
Stay tuned. More of Powering Michigan's Future coming up on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here again is Ken Rogulski. Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We'll continue our conversation with Kevin Vauchet, Vice President of Ideal Contracting, and Greg Montosky, Director of Sales and Marketing for CAM, Construction Association of Michigan. And a delightful surprise, Jamie Hayes joins us, Development Officer for the Great Lakes Field Service Council for the Boy Scouts of America. Jamie, you're in the room with all the guys. Good to have you.
Lucky me.
Dress up the place. You're with the Boy Scouts?
Absolutely.
What do you do?
So I am their Development Officer, as you mentioned, and I kind of handle all of our special events. So all of our fundraisers throughout the year, and including one of my favorites, our Building Connections event coming up.
This is one big event for you.
Yes.
So what do the kids do when they come to this thing?
So actually, the event itself is for the construction industry. We have a couple scouts that come with us and show up and do the color guard and everything, but it is really focused on a networking opportunity for the construction industry.
So what do you get out of it?
Well, it's a great networking opportunity for these guys to kind of mix and mingle, rub elbows with the who's who of the construction industry, if you will.
So do the kids get involved in this, or is it just for the upper echelon?
This event specifically, we have a couple kids that show up in the beginning, but it really is focus on the construction industry.
Now, the guys were saying that they had a pretty good fundraiser this year to help get the scouts going. Over $1 million raised?
So we've raised, this event has been around, we're going on our 11th year here, and we've raised over $1.3 million to support scouting programs.
But back to the scouts, some of the core values that the scouts still embrace?
Absolutely. I mean, scouting is all about preparing our youth for life. That has been our slogan and will continue to be our slogan, prepared for life, and that's really what we try to do. So we try to get these kids in career development programs, as we talked about earlier, our exploring program. We have them selling popcorn to raise money for them to go to college. There's, of course, scouting for food that we do every year, where they do volunteer opportunities throughout the community. So it's just, really preparing these kids to be awesome.
It's a dress rehearsal for life to be
successful. Absolutely.
I was surprised to find out that Steven Spielberg was a Boy Scout when he was younger.
You know, there's so many famous people and people in our community, leaders,
Gerald Ford, that have been
Boy Scouts and Eagle Scouts as well, our highest honor in the
Who are some of the big ones that you can remember?
Oh, jeez. Got to put me on the spot like that.
This is not a pop quiz.
Well, I think you've mentioned, there's a ton of presidents that were Eagle Scouts.
That's right. Mm-hmm. President Bush, too.
Mm-hmm.
Scouting creates individuals as well as the construction industry. What does scouting mean to you?
I think everyone that I've talked to, being in this role for the past year now, everybody has a scouting story. In one way or another, they've been touched by scouting. I was a Girl Scout till I was 18. They actually had to kick me out of there. I said, you're too old. Beat it. But I think scouting to me really is preparing youth for life. And I don't think that me personally would be the person that I am today if it wasn't for scouting. And that's why this is such an important cause to me and why I work for them as my career.
Good for you. Also, we're going to pass the microphone over now. Greg, what does scouting mean to you for this project?
One, it's giving back. I am an Eagle Scout, and
you too.
I am.
See,
and,
Jamie, here's one right here.
And it is certainly a way of giving back and in assisting and preparing, our youth for tomorrow. whether it's, you know, getting them involved in our industry with apprentice programs or further training, or just exposing them to, you know, the opportunities that our industry has. It is a great way, and our event is one that's looked forward to throughout the year. Every year when it comes around, there's everybody's talking about it and preparing for it.
Kevin, were you a Boy Scout too?
I was not. Apparently, I'm the only one in the room that wasn't. But
what scouting mean to you?
You know, it's the what scouting represents and what it's teaching the kids. You know, trustworthiness, loyal, kindness, treating others the way you want to be treated. Caring about the environment. Those are all aspects I think we all can agree that we want to be around people that have those values.
Yeah, if you had a chance, you'd associate more with those folks.
Absolutely. So anytime you can support that and help encourage it and also have an opportunity and an avenue for careers for these
kids. Sounds like the old adage, leave the place better than when you found it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, and I think sometimes we're losing that in our society a little bit, but... but yeah, I think that the Scouts, it represents that.
Jamie, tell us more about the Great Lakes Field Service Council and the services that you provide.
Sure. So we serve over 24,000 youth within Southeast Michigan, the Tri-County area. And actually, one thing that I don't think a lot of people know is it's boys and girls. So we have our exploring program, which you've been talking about, the career placement opportunities, starts at 14 to 21 and includes females as well, which is something that a lot of people don't know.
Surprise, surprise.
I know.
Are girls a big part of this? I mean, is it a growing number? Are they 50-50, 60-40?
It's definitely a smaller number, of course. I mean, our name says it all. We are the Boy Scouts of America, but we are trying to develop more programs to bring girls into our programs.
So what's it mean for a girl to be in the Boy Scouts?
Well, it's an excellent opportunity. What we can do for them is kind of what we've been talking about, is we can really, again, prepare them for life, of course, but to get them opportunities to explore different career options, because that's really what those programs are for when you're 14 to 21, is let's test it all out and see what fits.
Have you ever bumped into some of the older scouts that have come back to you and say, you know, I was a Boy Scout, I was an Eagle Scout, this is what I'm doing now, and do you know what I got out of your program? You ever had any stories like that?
I did. Actually, we did an event in June, and I ran into a woman who was in the scouting program in the 70s, a female, so it's been around for a long time, and she her program was at GM. And she was in there, was testing out the engineering opportunities. And she has been an engineer ever since with General Motors.
Was she one of the first, I wonder?
That was probably right around when it was being developed. So,
for a boy and a girl to be in Scouts, do they come in with wide-eyed optimism?
I think so. I'd like to hope that all these kids come in and see what a great opportunity it is to have the opportunity to kind of touch a couple different industries and really see what fits for you.
You know, because at an early age, many kids are still trying to figure out which end is up, what I want to do with the rest of my life, what is out there, what am I good at. This has to be a fabulous opportunity to go out there and find out just what somebody is good at and what somebody loves.
Absolutely, and while I love the Girl Scouts, I really wish I could have had that kind of opportunity to test out a couple different industries.
Well, if you had the chance to go back and test something different, you personally, what would you do different?
Oh, that's a big question. I don't know. I mean, I got to be honest. I love what I do. But going back... Well,
then you got it.
Yeah, I think I figured it out. Took me a while to get here, but I'm here.
Now, what types of activities will Scouts participate in as they are experienced through the Scouting program?
So... they do a ton of camping throughout the summer. We do day camps all summer long for all of the different districts.
Now, what's a day camp mean?
So the kids go out and do all sorts of fishing activities, depending on the age of the kids. Sometimes there's archery involved. They do just games and just have a great day.
So guys who like to go fishing can be a scout, I guess?
Absolutely. We encourage that. Actually, we have joint scouting nights that are coming up where you actually each youth gets a fishing pole, and we do a big fishing day. And you can go to our website to find those dates. It's michiganscouting.org.
Do they still teach them how to build campfires the old-fashioned way?
Absolutely. Camping is a big part of our program.
Can you still do it?
Absolutely. Teepee method.
Right. Now explain that teepee method.
you get the fire underneath, but then you have to kind of angle. It's hard to do when people can't see my hands. You have to angle your logs kind of up in what looks like a teepee
right,
to really get those to catch fire.
Jamie, a big event coming up. When is it? Where is it? What's it all about?
Sure. So we're going to be there Thursday, September 17th at the Detroit Historical Museum. Doors open at 5 o'clock. There are tickets still available.
5 a.m.?
5 p.m. Did I say a.m.?
No, I just wonder. You said 5 o'clock. I'm going, 5 a.m.?
5 p.m. I'll be sleeping at 5 a.m. Detroit Historical Museum, right by the DIA over there. So just a beautiful...
Right next to the library.
Yeah, just a beautiful facility. We're really excited to be there. I do want to give a shout-out to some of our amazing sponsors.
Please.
Of course, the gentlemen that are here with us today, CAM and Ideal Contracting, Ruby and Associates, MCA Detroit. We wouldn't be here where we are or where we are today without them.
Stay tuned. More of Powering Michigan's Future coming up on News Talk 760 WJR. It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Here's Ken Rogulski. Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. Tonight we're talking about the great work of Habitat for Humanity Detroit and the opportunities that folks get involved in the project. We've been turning our conversation now to jobs in the electrical construction industry. And we continue tonight with Michael Richard, Business Manager for IBEW Local 58, and Tom Middlebrun, Executive Vice President of NECA Detroit. Mike, let's start with you. Tell us about the apprenticeship programs and how they end up with full-time work for your guys and gals.
Well, we go through a selection process, and thankfully the industry has kind of picked up for us here, and we're able to bring in more apprentices into the fold. Once an apprentice is brought in and indentured into the program, they start working from day one. They get a job assignment. They start earning a paycheck. They start accruing benefits from day one. It's a great opportunity, and for a young person that maybe isn't college bound, and they're not looking to get into that $60,000 to $80,000 national average student loan debt.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. I mean, you get a paycheck, you get a job, and you get no college debt.
Yeah, not only do you when you finish your program in 5 years, if you're in the inside or 3 years in one of the other programs, you graduate debt free, and on top of that, you in the 5 year program, you graduate averaging about $225,000 in wages and benefits over that period.
Wow. Are the ladies coming in to take a look at this apprenticeship program too, and are they finding a home with you?
Absolutely, and we're kind of ramping our efforts up and getting that, letting them know that this is a viable career option for females. I think historically they don't look at it as a real option for them. You know,
right.
The construction industry.
They probably never thought of it.
Yeah. So we've kind of been ramping up those efforts and advertising and getting the word out there that, you know, this is an opportunity for females.
So they start earning a paycheck when?
From day one.
So when they show up to start learning about how to do electrical work, they start getting paid.
Yeah, they get a job assignment right when they get accepted in. They get put with a contractor, and they go to school, 2 times a month. So every other week they have a full day of school.
And benefits?
And benefits, absolutely.
So what kind of pay can they expect to get? What can they see in their check?
Our apprentices start out at around the $15 mark, and by the time they turn out, you're looking at about $38 an hour.
Wow.
Plus or minus.
That's a nice growth pattern.
Absolutely. And then you factor in the benefit package, it's bumps that up. So it's considerable, and again, it's a great career opportunity, and we're just getting that word out there and letting people know that this is a good option.
You know, I don't know about you, but I seem to learn better when I watch somebody do it, and then I try to do what they do, rather than reading it, following directions, and then trying to apply it. Do you find that to be the case?
Absolutely, and that's kind of our model, and that's why our apprentices, you do have the classroom work, but they're really learning their craft, working with that journeyman in the field, and they're working with their hands. The journeyman's showing them how this is done properly, and then they get right in there and start doing it themselves. So it's a great model for learning, and I'm the same way. I learn by doing hands-on.
Good, I'm not the only one. What skills that candidates need? Do the people need to have any basic skills when they come to you to be an apprentice?
Yeah, so the bare minimums, you know, you're looking at a high school diploma or GED equivalency and, you know, algebra, 1 year of high school algebra. And that's really important, having a good, solid math foundation, because the curriculum throughout the apprenticeship is pretty math intensive. And not only in the classroom, but we use it out in the field. You use these math you know, you use these equations to figure out the degrees of your bends when you're running conduit, and you also need to know, be pretty confident and good with math when you're figuring out the size of the conductors that you're going to be putting in those pipes that you just bent up.
You know, looking at the electrical business today versus 20, 30 years ago, what a change you have been through. I mean, you just don't wire a house anymore. Either there are cable trays, there's computer wire you got to pull through. You know, now they have in-home generators. I mean, houses are basically, you know, almost like little factories now that have to wire, and you guys got to keep on top of all of this.
Oh, absolutely. You look at houses and even commercial buildings like we're the one we're in now. These things are like giant smart devices with walls and roofs on them. So that means a lot of work for us, a lot of work for our folks, and it also means that we've got to stay ahead of that ever-changing industry, and we got to stay one step ahead and make sure that our apprentices and our journeymen get that training, because we're constantly doing journeyman upgrade training with our folks that are
the learning field. Never stops, huh?
Never stops.
Now, I can understand why math would be important, you know, adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing, but why is algebra so important to becoming a good electrician?
It's the foundation of the equations that you're going to be having to use out in the field, and it's if you in electrical theory, it's really the basic foundation of the equations that you use to wrap your head around electrical theory. So algebra is the base of everything when you're looking at the electrical field. Curriculum-wise.
Can you explain to someone who's completely ignorant about electric, me, I could never understand the difference between volts, watts, and ohms. They explained it in science. It just wouldn't penetrate my head. Yeah. They told me, if I remember correctly, volts was the electrical pressure that moves the current down the potential, see?
And then, you know, ohms is that your resistance, and each cable has a natural resistance factor on each wire, no matter what, has a natural built-in resistance. And so power is the combination of both of those. It's where you get your power derived.
You'd be a good teacher. You just taught me something. I forgot. What makes a good apprentice for the electrical industry?
Well, we talked about that foundation in math. That's a basic thing. And then what we're also looking for is someone that's got just a solid, good work ethic. You know, that's punctual, that, you know, shows up for work on time, shows up every day, fit for work, ready to work. So you know, it's really what we're looking for. Some, you know, young men and women that have that solid work ethic.
Tom, you're on the business end. What makes a good apprentice in the electrical industry?
Well, if you know, what makes a good apprentice? Well, as Mike mentioned, you know, math is very important. These apprentices become experts in theory, code, and application. And there's different classifications of workers which require different skill sets. Kind of to address your question, are females coming into the industry? The fact that there are different classifications of work and different skill sets lets anybody, you know, a wide variety of people choose this industry as a career.
So once they get in, once they start learning the basics, where can they branch out as far as future jobs are concerned? What areas can they end up in?
Well, quite honestly, there is a wide variety. Of course, obviously, the skills they're using in the field, they can move into management, whether it's on the union side, the employer side. They can expand into business fields, engineering fields. Of course, estimating and project management, another area that requires a lot of mathematics.
With growth, that's a big thing right now.
Yes, and so there's a lot. You know, what's nice about our industry is we have a lot of diverse areas from top to bottom, whether you're you know, bidding the jobs, doing all the prints, doing all the design, as Mike mentioned, how math is very important in establishing all those things, your conductors and the whole process of putting a project together. And so there's a lot of variety out there.
How's the market right now?
The market has been improving. As you know, we went through a very long down cycle, and we're very happy that, things are picking up, and it's looking good for the next several years.
Is it booming?
I wouldn't call it booming yet, but and quite honestly, we would like to see steady growth and to put everybody back to work and keep them working.
And one final thing. Do you still need apprentices? Can you still apply to be an apprentice?
Oh, absolutely. So starting the first Monday, working Monday of every month, that entire week, they can apply online, and that's at the DetroitEITC.org, this Detroit Electrical Industry Training Center. So they can go on there. There's a how to apply button, and it'll explain everything they need.
We'll have to watch that. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for more Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Once again, here's Ken Rogulski. Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We're talking with Michael Richard, business manager of IBEW Local 58, and Tom Mittelbrunn, executive vice president of NECA of Southeastern Michigan, about opportunities in the electrical field. Just how many applicants, how many apprentices are you guys taking in a year?
It varies depending on the market. You know, we've got to have that balance in there on what the market demands are. I think we're running right now, I think we're on our seventh class this year, so just about a little over that 100 mark, 100, 125. And the school, I think we're running about just under 400 total apprentices enrolled in the school right now as we speak.
Do you have trouble of finding apprentices?
We're doing pretty good on getting applicants in. It's getting those quality applicants and the ones that that meet that basic requirement. And so I think we're doing a much better job than we have in the past on getting ourselves out there and letting people know, especially starting at the high school level and talking with the guidance counselors and educators about this option. So
here is the $64,000 question, or maybe the $84,000 question. How much can an apprentice make in the first year?
So an apprentice starts off at about $15 an hour, and that's just on the check wages, and then you got to look at the benefit package that they're getting in.
Oh, they get benefits too?
Absolutely. Starting from day one when they get
health care.
They start building towards qualifying for their health care, absolutely, and they start building their pension, getting those pension hours building up from day one.
Wow.
Again, by the time you're done with that five-year program, you've probably made around $225,000 in wages and benefits.
You made $250,000 in 5 years?
Absolutely.
And you come out with a degree and a trade that you can have for the rest of your life?
Yeah, you come out, you got your licensed journeyman electrician in the state of
Michigan.
You're
a journeyman too?
Absolutely.
You get your journeyman's card,
yeah,
at the end?
and you're just a few credits shy of an associate's degree that can be applied at numerous community colleges around the area. Then, as a journeyman, when again, depending on the market and how the work is, a journeyman electrician can make between $60,000 and $80,000 a year, depending on the projects they're on and the flow of the work.
$60,000 to $80,000 a year.
Absolutely.
Wow. Now, how much debt? Do they have out-of-pocket expenses in this thing?
It during the apprenticeship, it's nominal. They do have a little tuition. And once they get into their second year of the apprenticeship, the journeyman and the local pick up the cost of their books for them, so that takes a little bit off the apprentices.
Mm-hmm.
So when they graduate, they're debt-free. There is no, they're not staring any debt in the face.
How can you argue with that?
I find it hard.
Tom, does the program offer any community college credits toward an associate's degree? We kind of touched on that, but what do they get?
Well, as Michael mentioned, it's a comprehensive program, and when they finish, those community colleges will transfer those credits or give them credit towards an associate's degree.
You went through the program yourself, didn't you?
I did.
So how did it go for you?
It went very well. It was a tremendous experience, and as we talked about in the previous segment, I was one of those people that was able to use my education in the field and my college education to continue on in this industry into different positions.
So you came in as an apprentice electrician.
Correct.
And what did you learn?
Well, you learn theory, code, and application. And electricity is fascinating for anybody who has gotten involved in it, especially the theory side. It's amazing. We all take for granted how electricity works and everything it does for us. But it is an amazing field, and it is very, very interesting.
But look at your career now. You started out with nothing. You learned the theory. You spliced wires together. And now you're a business manager. Is this a normal route that people could take when they come into this industry?
Well, I was very fortunate. I had tremendous people as mentors in this industry. And when I worked in the trade, as Michael described, you go through an apprenticeship program, you become a journeyman. I was fortunate enough to go work in the fringe benefits office, as you talked about. These apprentices and wiremen have a tremendous benefit package. And now I'm fortunate enough to work for the National Electrical Contractors Association.
So when you were a kid, is this what you wanted to be when you grew up?
Well, one of those mentors was my father, and I was exposed to, through all his friends, many other wiremen that made me interested in this field. I actually started out in electrical engineering. But in my own experience, I wanted to build things. I wanted the hands-on experience. So I switched from electrical engineering into the electrical apprenticeship program, and that was very satisfying and beneficial for me.
But when you were a kid, you did like the Legos, the building blocks, the Lincoln Logs. You liked to put stuff together.
Oh, I loved all that stuff. And I was fortunate to go to a high school that offered a lot of electronics and electricity classes.
What about you, Mike? Was it the same with you? Did you want to build things when you were a kid?
Absolutely. Much like Tom, my father was an electrician in the local union as well. So growing up around that, and electricians tend to be a big family. So I was always exposed to all his friends were electricians. My uncle's electrician. So it was the family business, and I started out at an early age building, making my own little lamps and making things out of wire. So it was then moving into small engines, getting that.
So you were a tinkerer then?
Absolutely, and I think it was just a natural fit. Once I came off active duty from the Marine Corps, they were accepting applications. The timing was perfect, and I started my apprenticeship.
Explain to somebody who's out there trying to figure out what they want to do with the rest of their life. You came in, you got a job, you started working, you had some success. Explain to somebody who's trying to find out which way is up, how this program can help them.
Well, I think, again, they just need to understand that this isn't a job. We're not offering simple jobs here. What this is a career path, and it's a career that you can, and as Tom has said before, there's many different things you can branch out to. You can stay a journeyman working in the field, and you can continue on and get your master electrician's license. I after my first couple years as a journeyman, I sat down and took my test and became a master. And from that point, if you got that entrepreneurial spirit, you can become a contractor, start your own business. You can go work in a shop, estimating, project managing, with this license and this journeyman's ticket in your pocket, you can go around the country. And quite frankly, the skills that they learn here in the Detroit area, our skill sets are desired and valued around the country and really around the world. So we train, and I'm biased, but we train the best electricians on the planet.
Before we run out of time, what's the application process like to become an apprentice?
So on the first, starting on the first working Monday of every month, and then that for that entire week until that Friday, they can go online at DetroitEITC.org and then hit on that how to apply button, and it'll explain everything they need on how to get their application in.
And Tom, before we run out of time too, what would you tell somebody considering getting in the electrical industry, becoming an apprentice? Any words of wisdom for them?
Well, I guess my words of wisdom would be that if you are interested in, getting involved and building something, college is not for everyone. And the trades offer a great opportunity for people that, would like to get their hands dirty and work on projects from the ground up. And like Mike, I'm very biased. The electrical industry to me is very fascinating because it is ever-changing, as you mentioned earlier, and it's very complicated. But it's incredibly interesting to make electricity work for everything that we use it for.
It just sounds like a great life, a great opportunity, and a great way to earn a living.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Mm. Well, gentlemen, we appreciate you joining us tonight. Kevin Fauché, Vice President, Ideal Contracting. Greg Matowski, Director of Sales and Marketing for the Construction Association of Michigan. Jamie Hayes, Development Officer for the Great Lakes Field Council of the Boy Scouts of America. Tom Mittelbrun, Executive Vice President of NECA Southeastern Michigan. And Michael Richard, Business Manager of IBEW Local 58. This has been Powering Michigan's Future on 760 WJR. I'm Ken Rogulski. Thanks for joining us.